The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to invite the kids or the kids at heart to come on and sit up front here if you'd like. I do need some help, so I need some kids up here. I know it's a little short on kids today, but come on up. And while we're doing that, I'd just like to follow up on Casey's. Actually, can you guys sit on the, not on the steps, but on the ground, actually? I'll pick that up. And turn around and face me. Casey's first joke was, how do you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on him? Do you know how you catch a tame rabbit? Tame way. There's another one. You just add that on. No, it's. I have to give the credit to Tammy for that one. She leaned over and said, "Do you know how to catch a tame rabbit?" I said, "No." Do you like that joke? No. Okay. Wasn't very funny. This morning I just felt like it would be appropriate and good and wonderful to talk about transition and change. It's something we face constant in our life. Change is all around us all the time, and we need to react to it. And so there's so many different things that we can do in how we react to change. I was thinking as I was sitting over there, I got a whole generation of children that are coming up. You know, New Year's Eve, to me as a kid, was always there's something that would bubble up on the inside of me that would say, oh, wow, what's the next new year? You know, what's the new year going to hold, you know? 2013, we face it, it's coming up. And there's a whole generation of you guys who probably aren't even going to know who Dick Clark was. I mean, every New Year's Eve, we watch Dick Clark as the ball drops and it goes into the new year, but you guys are going to be, you'll be going, Ryan Seacrest, right? I mean, because he'll be the next guy, right? So, yeah. Somebody say no, you know. Like. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of the thing is, like, change is always around us, always constant. And I had to do one of the hardest things that I've ever done was this. I had to do, like, a one-minute talk, and you had to keep it to a minute. And the topic that they gave me, they just gave me a topic, you know, and the topic that I had was change. And I just, it's hard to just talk for a minute on a certain subject and try to get your whole point across, but it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. But I started to think about over history how many things have changed. How many of you guys would still like to be washing clothes in the washing machine, in a river on some rocks, you know, I mean, stuff like that. We got washing machines, we got electricity. I think about people that have changed history. Martin Luther, by nailing the thesis to the wall, you know, totally changed history, the way we look at how we approach, as Christians, how we can approach God. There's been so many people that have changed history. And one of the things that we can do as Christians or as anybody, one way to affect how change affects you is to be a changer yourself. You know, some of those people were breaking ground where ground hadn't been broken yet. And maybe they don't even get to see the fruit of what they've changed. But they were the ones that were in there plowing the ground and seeing the change. Or starting the change. So I'm going to rely on technology because Bob loves it when I do this. Bob's trying to mentor me in not using notes while I'm up here, I think. So, but I don't want to share with you guys, the kids, I need your help today. We're going to do a Bible story. What we've been doing in the children's ministry, one of the things that we've been doing is and this was changed for me because I haven't done this in so long, but we started to actually just kind of go through the Bible. And we started in Genesis, and we're looking at the first five books of the Bible to begin with. And it's been a little difficult for some of us teachers because, you know, I'm relying on Jim and Hillary over there to teach Leviticus. I mean, come on, you know, yeah. To the kids, right? I mean, you know, Jim's on the phone, what? No, really, I want you to teach Leviticus. Okay. I'm just glad it's you and not me, right? But no, they did a wonderful job. But we kind of moved into Exodus. And I'm just going to kind of pick up in Exodus here even this morning. Because one of the things that they had to face was the Israelites had to face change in Exodus. You know, they had spent so many years in Egypt. I'm just going to say that they were making bricks because a lot of bricks need to be made back then and for Egypt. And it's like these were the people, the Israelites were the people, that even though they were considered to be slaves, life wasn't terrible for them. I mean, they made bricks and they made buildings and they had food and they had a place to live. So who wants to be my Israelites this morning? I need four or five Israelites. Joy, you can be an Israelite. Come over here. Where's Isaiah? He left?
Yeah.
You can come over here. Just right here. Just go over here on the step. Who else wants to be Israelite? I need you to be something else. You can be an Israelite. And you can be an Israelite, okay? So over here. Over here, any of my Israelites, come on. Over here we have our Israelites, and do you guys know how to make bricks? Just go like this. Yeah, making bricks. That's what you're doing. You're making bricks. You need to make bricks? Go ahead. That works. You're breaking up rocks. There you go, making bricks. Making bricks all the time. Constantly making bricks. All right, there you go. You're making bricks, okay? And then I wanted Isaiah because I was going to have him be Moses this morning because he would fit my suit. Let's see who else would fit. Who wants to be Moses? Yeah, I don't need you to be Moses either. You want to be Moses? This might be kind of big for you, though. Can you put this on? Let's see if that even works on you. Ginger. Whoops. Hang on, we'll get you there. There we go. Can you put your sleeves? Can you put it? Sit it through. All right. That's a little big for you, but you can be Moses. All right. Stay there, please. Moses. This is a big stick for a little Moses, but here you go, Moses. Yeah, Moses had his staff, and and then I need somebody just to hold the star for me. That's not you either. You can hold the star. But I want you to go to the end of this aisle right there, way in the back, okay? There we go. All right. That's just going to represent our promised land. That's not the Star of Bethlehem. I know it is in the Christmas play, but that's our promised land. Hold it up high. That's the promised land over there, the future. Okay, you guys making bricks? Yeah, because you're like always making bricks. I mean, this is the deal. Okay, and I need two more people, and that would be you two. And I want you to go stand down about the middle of that aisle right there and just stand there. Okay? And guard it. Guard the aisle. All right. So we got our brick players, the Israelites. And we got Moses. And we got the promised land way back there. And then, as you can see, well, you guys got to stand in the middle of the aisle. There you go. Now you can see we got a very well-guarded path. Now, if you want to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. By the way, Bob, I'm there already. I'm there already. I'm just kidding. Yay me, right? Technology. Exodus 13 and 17. Henry's got us there too, so that's good. All right. Okay, here's what the Bible says. Bricklayers, are you going? Laying bricks, making bricks. Okay. Moses, are you ready, Moses? You ready? Okay. Okay. Guards, we set? Okay. I just want to share on this a little bit about, and reading this, I learned some things about transition. And I've learned a few things about transition because over the years, I've transitioned a lot. So, verse 17 says this, "Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the land of the Philistines, although it was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds if they see war and return to Egypt." So here's Moses. And Moses convinces Pharaoh to let the people go. Brick makers, keep making your bricks. And their life wasn't terrible. Like I said, it was like they got fed for making bricks. They were just making bricks all the time. Okay, so Moses, come on over here. Come over here, Moses. All right, good. And we're going to we're going to have to tell our people, okay, you've been let go. It's time for us to leave. And God says, Moses, I don't want you to take them the easy way. Because how many have had geometry before? The shortest distance between any two given points is what? A straight line. Okay? So from here to the Promised Land, there's a straight line. From Egypt to Canaan, there's a straight line. And that's where they're supposed to go. But God doesn't take them that way. He takes them another way. He actually takes them the far way. The opposite way of the way you should go. So, as Moses, you're going to get up and lead, and the people are going to follow. You can stop making bricks now. You're done. Isn't that cool? You don't have to make bricks anymore. Yay. But yeah, but you get to follow now.
Freedom,
right. So you're following Moses, and you get along, and you're going that direction. And the Bible says in verse 17, that the reason they didn't go this direction is because they might change their minds if they saw war. So if they got going this direction, you can stop now and just kind of hang out over there. If they got going this direction and they saw war, God knew that they would probably return right back to eating the food they were eating, making the bricks that they were making, and return right back to that same thing. Because they didn't want to, I mean, if they went there, they wouldn't even know how to deal with that. All they knew how to do was make bricks, right? So, God did not lead them the most straight and easy path. Instead, he actually took them the opposite way. And God did this because if they saw the war, they returned to Egypt. So God does not lead us on the path of least resistance or the shortest distance between any two given points. He knows that if he leads us, he knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he's going to lead us the way that we need to go. And just like Casey talked about, it's that point of ultimate trust. We may think that's the easiest way to go, but in trusting in him, he may not even take us down that path. He might take us down that path way over there. Reality is, we got to learn to trust him and go that path. That's part of dealing with change. We need to follow him. All right? In verse 19, it says, Henry's got that up there already. "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath and saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you." It reminds us of the promise. You know, they took the bones of Joseph, who Joseph was instrumental in getting them there to begin with. I mean, that was the whole reason that the Israelites were in Egypt, is because Joseph was able to provide through the many riches of Egypt for the people of Israel. But God's promise was in Joseph. And so they took the bones as a promise, as a reminder of his promise. And then in Exodus 13, 20 through 22, yeah. See, Bob, it's not as fast as you think. So they took their journey from Succoth, camped in Etham, at the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light. So as they go by day and night, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from the people before, or from before the people. So here's the extraordinary thing that happens in the middle of this whole journey. You got these people that have been building bricks and they're taken care of, and they're venturing out on a journey, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God shows up in this pillar of fire at night. And I don't think it was just a little candle flame. I mean, to me, this is a pillar of fire, and it's a cloud that reaches from cloud to ground, or from ground to the heavens. And they know that they're going the right direction, because constantly over here with Moses and the bricklayers, okay, you guys can get up, we're going to finish our journey. And as they're going, this cloud of glory and this fire leads them all the way over to the Red Sea and beyond that into Canaan. And it never left them. And that's something that all of us need to learn in transition. Kids, you guys transition all the time, right? I mean, hey, they made it. All right. Come on, back up and sit down. Man. Wow, you guys are awesome. You didn't even get to fight a war, did you?
You're supposed to die.
Well, that's a different story. Thanks. Come back up and sit down. We'll die another day. Yeah. So, you guys face transition all the time, right? Give me something that's changed in the last year. Raise your hand. Tell me something that's changed in the last year in your life. Josiah, what's changed in your life? Joy, what's changed in your life? I heard you say, ooh.
I got a Kindle Fire this year.
You got a Kindle Fire this year. So you get to learn how to deal with that, and that's changed, right? Right. You know, we face changes. We face family changes. We face all kinds of transition and change. And one of the things that I'm going to show real quick here, I got to make sure I'm watching my time. Before I have you guys go back and sit with your parents, I want you to watch a video about transition and momentum. Because this is kind of the way things work, I think, in life. And this is a commercial. I'm not selling Honda cars right now, okay? But this is a commercial that Honda did, and I thought it was really cool because this is the way things happen. There's always a change or a transition, and then there's momentum that builds, and then there's another change or a transition, and then there's momentum that builds. And ultimately, we come to an outcome. So let's watch this. If somebody could grab the lights and Henry fire it up. So here we have momentum, transition. Momentum, transition. Building momentum and transition. And if it's working out right, everything works together. Momentum, transition, momentum, transition. See, just this is the way. I mean, as this is the way life is. And another transition. And transition and momentum. More momentum. Oh, that one almost petered out. But then, hey, we got more transition and momentum. And things just change. And if it all works together, I see that, but there's windshield wiper fluid squirting on there. We're moving along, do some more transition and momentum, and more transition. Fires up the battery, some more transition. Get the speakers going. All right, this is the part where I'm not selling the car. Yeah, so isn't it nice? So, you know, and that's kind of the way it'll be for you guys and for adults too. It's constant change, and we got to choose how we're going to deal with it. So if you guys could go back and sit down real quick. Just share with you guys a little bit how God's worked in me over the past 4 years. I took this children's ministry position 4 years ago in a couple of months, actually. And, you know, I'd spent 14 years prior to that, actually, in children's ministry, different places. So, you know, it's been 18 years, almost 20 years of children's ministry. And loved every minute of it. And God has worked a lot of change in me through all of it. But when Dave and Susie sat down with Tammy and I when we did this, I really felt like God really impressed upon me right away. As I prayed about it, he said, really, this isn't about you or what you know or what you've learned over the last 14 years or what you even bring to the table from the last 14 years. God really said, watch me work. He felt like he was just saying, watch me work. And some really cool ground had been established or broken with the kids prior to when we even took over at the children's ministry. New things had been stirred up in the children, and when we went, we actually walked into a really cool situation because I had some mindsets and some preconceived ideas about how children should act in a classroom and how they should be taught. But I felt like through that time, he was just saying, watch me work. And because of that, it's like I felt this whole new change. Like I could just rest in him to see what he was going to do. And it was really interesting because one of the things that I did right away was just come up with a vision statement for the children's ministry, or a vision set of a vision. And that was to encourage the children to grow in their God-given purposes. There are reasons. I mean, we looked at gifts. We had a gift box, and inside of that gift box, for a lot of years, we just pull a gift out of the inside of that box, and we talk about what that gift is. And we would see that, you know, start to rise up in some of the children. So we encourage the kids constantly to grow in their God-given purpose. And then the next thing that we created was, this is always going to be a safe place. All right, a safe place for kids to experience all that God has for them. You know, we worked on love, and we worked on how we respond. You know, because even as any of us are starting to explore, you know, if God's given us a gift of prophecy, or if he's given us a gift of music, as we're starting to explore, you know, singing, preaching, whatever it is, creativity and the arts and stuff, and as we're doing that, we make mistakes. And you know what? It's okay to make mistakes. And this is a safe place with the kids. We said, this is a safe place for you to make a mistake, okay? There's no judgment. We're going to love you through every part of it. you know. We always wanted to create that safe place. And then we also wanted to encourage them to learn to fellowship with one another in love. And that was that whole part. We're going to do this in love. We're going to encourage you. We're going to love you. No matter what you do, the decisions you make in life, we're going to love you. You can't decide us out of loving you. That's the way I approach my own children. Your choices in life do not dictate whether I love you or not. It's not even part of the equation. Because I will always love you. And that's the way, you know, we try to do it with the kids too. So we looked at the gifts. We got into creativity. We talked about creativity. And I went to I was the guy that used to say, God doesn't work through me prophetically. I used to say that years past. And because I said that for years, I never had visions and dreams, or did I ever get words? I just didn't feel like that was something that God worked in me in. I mean, I was okay with being a teacher because that's what I was. I'm a teacher, right? And so I can teach the kids. I can take the word and I can teach the kids, and we can do it through puppets and we can do it through whatever. So I'm a teacher, but I just didn't feel like he worked through me that way. Well, I went to a conference and I saw this lady, Deb Reed. She got up and she said, hey, guess what? It's really cool. We can teach kids, or kids can prophesy. And I was like, what? You know, I mean, for the years prior to whatever, God doesn't even work through me that way yet, let alone look at kids and all this kind of stuff. And in the matter of like one night, she orchestrates how we can teach kids that it's okay and you have this gift and you can prophesy. And it's really simple. And so that night, I felt like the Lord was saying, stop saying that. Stop saying that you can't do that or you don't get that. And as soon as I did that, I stopped saying that. It was like all these things opened up to me. And not only was I able to, I started getting dreams and visions right away. I started seeing colors. Yeah, colors. And you can too, Bob. You can. Right, Marcy? He can. Colors, dreams, visions. Because he is such a creative God, and he can show us through anything. I mean, these guys, the guys that I sit on the elder board with would tell you, I get visions that are goofy, like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory type stuff. But, you know, I get really goofy ones. And so, you know, we just encourage that with the kids, and we've taught them that it's okay to explore these areas in your life. And, you know, a year ago, was it Alan Ross was here when we did the prophetic conference? Was it a year ago? You know, and we had kids on the prophetic teams that were in there, and they were prophesying to people that just came here specifically to get prophecy. And awesome prophecies. You know, life-changing stuff. And that's just because we've created all that safe place, that a good place for them to grow. And believe me, prior to those 4 years, that's not the way that I did children's ministry. And, you know, so transitions are awesome if we just allow them and we follow that cloud, that pillar. If we practice the presence, we practice his presence in our life, constantly knowing that he's going to guide and lead us always by that pillar or by that cloud. Every turn we make, it may not be that simple one. It may not be that quick little line between here and there. You know, we'll know. So we're going to make a transition, one that I'm actually very excited about. I kind of felt like 3 or 4 months ago, like this was coming. Like I felt like there was just a change that was needing to happen in the children's ministry. And we're so blessed, actually, because, again, God provides in every situation. We're so blessed in the children's ministry, and you kids are blessed, because a lot of churches don't have a smooth transition in something like this. You know, my heart being what it is, that could have been a 3-4 year process. So I brought it before the elders and we talked about it. And God provided for you guys, for the kids, and for us as a congregation, and Jim and Hillary Early. And they came, they were attending a different church. And I remember that probably that same children's conference or one after, I had run into them guys because we kind of run into each other at children's conferences. And I had one of those goofy prophecies actually for them guys. And Jim tells me he always remembers that. But they ended up coming back here after being here for a while. And we're so blessed to have them. And when I kind of brought this up to them guys, they got excited. That this is an opportunity for them. And I'm excited about it because it's going to do something for the kids. It's going to be a new freshness for them, something more exciting. I know there's going to be something new beyond this for them. And I'm also excited for myself. This next chapter, it's like stepping out like this. I have no idea, because I've done this a long time. I don't know what it is. What the next chapter is going to be exactly, but I know that I can follow that direction that God has, that I can practice His presence, and I can follow the cloud or the fire, and I'm excited to see what He's got to do, and just wanted to announce that today too. There's going to be this transition, and also just wanted you guys to know. We have no plans. People have asked me, are you going to leave? Are you going to go somewhere else? We have no plans to do that because we love it here and are actually very excited to see what that next chapter actually involves with us here at Living Waters. We love you guys. We love the congregation. We love the leadership here. It's been an incredible experience for us. We've been to quite a few different churches, and nobody does church quite like they do it here. And it's free and wonderful, and we just love it. So, we're going to be here with the Earlys as a resource as much as possible. If they got questions or if I got thoughts, we can kind of bounce them off each other. So we're going to be here. We'll work together as a team, but the transition is going to be, they're going to be in leadership of the children's ministry. And so we're just excited for that. And I'd like to have Jim and Hillary come up and just give them a hand as they're coming. All right, just share a little bit from your heart. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can we give Sean and Tammy a big hand? Yeah.
I don't think it's on.
Do I need to press the button here or something? Talk louder. Yeah. Hey, I have no problem talking louder at home. But we would just like to tell you just a little bit about Jim and Hillary, because I know a lot of you have known us, and from years, we used to go here for 10 years when it met at the school.
We were, oh boy, there I am. But we started coming here, oh boy, was it 14 years ago, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
We're both from like the Duluth area. And when I was 1 year old, no, we're not going to go into it. But when we were growing up, we kind of moved to the cities, and we had six kids. And as a dad, I was the first one to put ice cream on my finger when they were just little and put it on their mouth, Oh, they loved that. But when they were like 2 and 3, I prayed for them for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, each one of them. And they got it, and that was so exciting. And we've always like wanted to raise our kids up to have like a relationship with God more than anything, just to have that relationship with Him. So we moved on in history. Maybe you could say a little bit more. Moved on with...
Okay. So, not sure where he was going with that. But no, so anyway, the history is we were here. So some of you know us, and you were here. Like our youngest daughter was, we had her when we were coming to this church. And so some of your faces are very familiar. And then there's a lot of you that are new. And and don't know about us so much. So after we had been here for 10 years, the Lord called us out to a different church, which was Church of the Resurrection. And so we were there for 5 years and did children's ministry there, and also did a camp. And so I just remember, you know, being called to that camp. That was kind of like a beginning of really taking over doing children's stuff. And so anyway, we were called back here, and that was transition. And actually, Sean told us that when he had that vision, that it was that he saw Jim in this jungle, and he was chopping away, you know, and I was following behind.
Jungle Jim.
You know, and that was, you know, for about 2 years, we've been kind of going, where are we supposed to, you know, we came here, but what, you know, what's our next, where are we supposed to be, God? And so he was chopping away, and in the end, he'd see the sun, you know. And so we've been kind of chopping and wondering where we're supposed to be, and then this kind of came along too. So we're really very, very excited to be stepping into this. It's kind of like, we've been going through this transition, stepping into where we're supposed to be, and we've got great shoes to fill. Sean and Tammy have done such a great job. It was great working under them. So.
And we, you know what we like to do the most? We like to have fun, and then we like to have more fun, and then a lot of fun after that, too.
That was our three things. Three things. We need three things. Fun, more fun.
And the foundation of the Word of God we like to put in them, and the Spirit of God, and revealing the Christ in them that they can share with the world.
Yeah, those are, we did come up with three real things. I mean, fun, yes,
and funner.
But we really want with the kids here is to build foundations, you know, so that they have a strong foundation, build a house, you know, with lots of memory verses, knowing the books of the Bible, all those things. So we want to have that element for sure. And then the second element is we just want to see the Spirit of God move in them, you know, and we've just experienced that the Holy Spirit can fill any age and move in any age. And so we want to continue, like with Sean and Tammy have been doing, just to foster a environment where that can be experienced and a safe place. Oh, then the third thing is we also want to bring out all the potential in our kids, because they have so much, and we just want to have them develop that too in a safe position. Like bring out their giftings in music and drama or video or whatever it is. We just kind of want to see it and pull it out of them. And we also want to do a little pulling out of you guys, because it takes a church to run a good children's ministry. And we just want, you know, you to step in any area that you have giftings and just be a body and bring that into the children's ministry. So we might be pulling on you for your giftings. So.
And also, you know, we know your kids now because we've been teaching. You guys got such wonderful kids. They are so cool, and it's just a blessing to be working with them, and it's just fun. You guys did a good job.
They're cute.
Thank you.
All right. Man, I think I want to be a kid again. That just sounds like so much fun. You know, we do. We have a conviction that our children don't carry some kind of a junior Holy Spirit. They release it through a very childlike manner, which is really refreshing in a lot of ways. But I have been powerfully impacted, and you've heard my testimony of the time I ended up in a puddle of tears, just weeping and snot all over the place, because these kids gathered around me and laid hands on me and prayed for me. And I tell you, why not? I mean, really, why not? Why can't these kids learn this stuff from a very early age? And even more than that, what we do here on a Sunday should just be accompanying what you're teaching your children at home. In other words, please teach your children how to prophesy. If you haven't prophesied Ask God to awaken prophecy in you so that you can teach your children how to prophesy. Teach your children how to lay hands on the sick and see them raised up. You know, teach your children how to pursue God and to love God. I mean, if you're leaving it to the Sunday school, that's no different than thinking that you can come here on a Sunday and receive everything that you need by a word that's preached. I mean, thank God that we can preach and we can teach and we can do some things here. But I'll tell you what, if you're not pursuing God the other 6 days of the week, then you're going to be you're not going to do it. It's not going to work for you. And it's the same way with your children. You know, parents, love your children enough to teach them the things of God, to teach them what's available to them, and to pursue and find out what God has put in them. And I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled that we've had Sean and Tammy laboring in this way for 4 years. And I'm so excited for Jim and Hillary. I've known them for, oh, golly. Our kids have grown up together. Our children play in the same band together, two are our sons. And by the way, they have done marriage ministry in the past, and they're just an awesome, awesome couple. And it's just such a thrill to have you guys on board and doing these things. So, change is good, remember? What's our mantra? Change is good. And it is good. So we're going to break bread together today. If the teams will come on up. If you're here and you're newer to us, you are absolutely welcome to break bread with us. There you go. Thank you. You can go ahead and pass it out. You know, this is strange to only have one hand. Yeah, if you're new here, you are absolutely welcome to break bread with us. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are commanded in the Scripture to remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this way. And this is a meal that's shared literally across the world, across every nation, every place that people are called by the name of Jesus. This is one of the common things that we do as the body of Christ. You know, and we have a lot of different traditions throughout Christianity. I went to Thailand and they did things a little bit differently than we do here. Been to other places in the world where it just seems like there's different traditions, different understandings, different emphases in the body of Christ. But this meal, this breaking of the bread, this remembering Jesus and the breaking of bread together is something that is done universally in the church, in the body of Christ. And we just believe that there is a real power in this meal. There's a power of unity of the body of Christ, but also that there's a healing if you'll believe that this is the body. Now, we don't believe in transubstantiation where it actually literally becomes the body, but by your faith, you are partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ in a very, very real way. In the same way that Jesus said, except you eat my bread or eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of me. What in the world are you talking about, Jesus? He is the bread of life. He is the nourishment that we need to sustain ourselves spiritually. He is food, and he is drink. Thank you, Father. We'll just wait on one another, and we'll eat together. Everybody got? Okay. Thank you, Lord. And the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, as often as you share this meal, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. It's my body that's broken for you." So we remember you, Jesus. We remember the torture. We remember the pain. But we remember, too, that your body was broken so that we could live, that we could be nourished through this meal. We eat today as one body in remembrance of you. Thank you, Lord. Let's eat together.
We sanctify these elements, the bread and the fruit of the vine. And as we have communion with your Spirit, we ask you to forgive us and to cleanse us, to build in us the resurrected Christ. We drink from your blood our redemption, the victory over the enemy. We drink your perfect love manifested in the cross. We drink the reconciliation between heaven and earth, the joining together in one spirit with your true body. We drink from your blood the power of forgiveness, so we can deeply and sincerely forgive one another. And we eat from your body the healing power for our bodies. We proclaim your wounds to have its full effect in our health. We eat from your body the fullness of who you are, in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Jesus. We invoke your holy presence. Manifest yourself.
In the same way, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take and drink this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus, we do thank you that it is the shedding of your blood that we can have confidence that our sin is forgiven. That though our sins are scarlet, God, you made them white as snow through faith in the shed blood of Jesus. We thank you that he is and was the perfect sacrificial lamb. We thank you for reconciliation with you, Father, through the blood of Jesus. We thank you for reconciliation with one another. We drink now in remembrance of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. Let's drink together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Let's stand together. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. God, you are awesome. God, your presence is amazing. Lord, we do thank you for this meal that we share, God, this time of intimacy. God, that we really do. We become what we eat. We thank you that in a mystery, we partake of your broken body. We partake of your blood. And yet, it has such an incredible spiritual reality to it. We thank you. Father, I bless this body. Father, we release your blessing over every man, woman, and child in this house today, God. Those that aren't with us that are celebrating the holidays, God, we bless each one. And Father, I do pray that you prepare us for the new year, for the changes of the new year. God, that we can go in the strength of this meal, strengthened with might in the inner man, to face the challenges, to face the joys of the coming year. God, we thank you. You are our confidence, and you are our joy. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.